football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner.
Welcome to the podcast. We are back for our second last planned podcast. Anyways, we've got some provincials to talk about today, so it's not going to be long and drawn out, but we will touch on where the selects are, and we will wrap up the selects and the all-stars in our final podcast of the year. Which will probably be a couple of weeks out. And hopefully that'll give us time to put together some interesting interviews, if we can. How you doing, hopefully. Cole?
I'm doing all right.
Welcome once more. We're almost completed the 2023 season. It's been a pretty good year for football.
It's been exciting and surprisingly still warm.
Yeah, the weather has been incredible. I'm sure there's some out there who would call it alarmingly warm for this time of year, but whether or not, it's a sign of things to come, or if it's just a one-off, we enjoyed it while it lasted, that's for sure.
Well, it definitely made it nicer for us doing provincials. And I'm sure for our provincial teams as well, it was probably nicer that it was still a little bit warmer so they could actually pass and throw the ball a little bit better and actually catch it better. Cause I've been a receiver when it's cold, and it's not fun.
No.
Might as well be catching a brick out there.
Frozen footballs hurt fingers. Definitely. Almost as much as frozen helmets hurt kidneys.
That too.
Which is how I ended my high school football career. Frozen helmet in a kidney. It was not pleasant. But thankfully, it was a long time ago. So I'm over it now. Can't you tell?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like fun.
So after our Eagles and our Cowboys moved on to provincials. The Eagles had a one-off game. They went up to Edmonton and took on the Edmonton Chargers in the Tier 3 Alberta Provincial Bantam Football Championship game. And they came away with an 18-14 victory, which is awesome. Congratulations to the Eagles and that whole organization. They had a heck of a year, considering they finished 3-5 and kind of weren't sure where they were going to end up, looking straight down at the first playoff matchup against the Cowboys. And after that predictable outcome, they turned their season into something special. They were able to make something of the last few games, and congratulations to them, city and provincial champions.
Well, I think it was, if you compare the Eagles at the start of the season to like the second half of the regular season and into the playoffs, them, we mentioned it in a few other podcasts, it was them and the Bulldogs were the most noticeable teams that were on and up incline throughout the season, pretty much. I think part of their issue early on in the season was the injuries, because they were one of those teams that had a few of those really bad injuries that we had to call the ambulances for. And I don't think it was all of their games. I think in the first 3 weeks, I think they had 3 ambulance calls, but I don't think it was just their players that had the trips to the hospital. Right. But so it's like those can be hard situations to play under, is, especially with young players and stuff. Like, it's hard to get out of that mentality of, I don't want to also be hurt in this capacity that my teammate was. But whatever the coaching staff did for the Foothills Eagles and stuff throughout the season to get them to climb and to get to where they were at the end of the season and take home that tier two, three provincial championship. Yeah. Is something to really applaud and to put a lot of credit on to that coaching staff.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic finish to the season. And they'll be looking to better that next year. I'm sure they'll come out flying. In the tier one playoffs. So in the semifinals, a couple of weeks ago or last week, the Lethbridge Rams defeated the West Edmonton Raiders 36-16 to make their way to the tier one final. And the Cowboys defeated the Sherwood Park Rams 23-8 to punch their ticket to the tier one final.
I have notes on that game. I actually have notes for both our games that we got to see for the Cowboys.
Nice.
Because we actually got to use Stampeder Field, which Bantam doesn't usually use because Peewees usually use it. But because there was high school provincials also on at the same time. That's why we were over there. And it was kind of a slow burn that semifinal, I think. Cowboys got up early off of a conceded safety by the Rams. There was a knee safety for field position. And then it was Keelan Reed had a 75-yard rushing touchdown. Later in the first half, the Cowboys fumbled it. The next play, Ben Watson intercepted a pass from the Sherwood Park Rams. The Cowboys would add another touchdown in the first half. That was number 20, KJ Haycock, that got an 11-yard rushing touchdown. And that kind of pretty much sealed it. The Rams got a safety, or the Cowboys conceded a safety in the second half. Rams did come back and scored a 63-yard passing touchdown before the Cowboys would answer with an 89-yard rushing touchdown. Anderson Tolarik, a pairing in the air that we've seen throughout the entirety of the season. I think the surprising one was no Xander Daniel on the score sheet in that game, but it was all Cowboys, and he did have a good game as well for them.
He certainly did.
Despite not being on the score sheet.
Yeah, he played both ways, and I noticed him on the defensive side of the ball make some really nice tackles. Really good pursuit, and usually he was the first one to put a helmet on the football.
Yeah, wasn't it too bad of a crowd from Sherwood Park? Actually, I think both teams that we had, both Rams teams.
Yeah.
I should highlight that the Cowboys played two different Rams teams back-to-back weeks.
That's right.
They played the Sherwood Park Rams followed by the Lethbridge Rams. Both wore green and white.
Yes.
The only difference was Sherwood Park got a little bit of that Eskimo gold, or the Elks, sorry, gold.
Yes.
As well.
And the one kid with the actual LA Rams helmet.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it was like both away crowds were decent, and not gonna lie, were kind of louder than the Cowboys fans, especially in that final.
And you know, there could be lots of reasons for it, but
I tried hyping up the crowd at the start of the game, and the Cowboys fans didn't want to do anything.
You travel with your team, you're gonna get excited, and you traveled. Were you able to travel for last year's provincial final?
No, something came up and I wasn't able to. Either that, I can't remember if something came up or I slept in, or both. It might have been both.
Right.
I was planning on it, but yeah.
I did go. And the Cowboys fans were loud on the road last year. Like they showed up in force.
Yeah.
They were loud. It was bitterly cold day last year. It was so much nicer this year.
Yeah.
But in the end, the result is the same. The Cowboys were able to win again their back-to-back provincial Tier 1 Alberta Bantam Championships, which is incredible. I took a few notes on the final game. So for that one, it was back and forth. I didn't take notes on players' names. I remember a Daniel scoring.
I got those.
Yeah, that's good. I remember it was you know, the Rams opened the scoring. They made their 2-point convert, and then the Cowboys answered back, kicked for one, and then
that one kind of surprised me.
It didn't surprise me so much. I figured that you know, Al Cooper knew that they were in for the long haul, and if 1 point was going to defeat them, it was then they didn't deserve to win anyways. I think he was planning on scoring a lot more.
Yeah,
which they ended up doing. They got took the lead, went up 15-8, and then the Rams scored again, took that 16-15 halftime lead.
Yeah.
And then in
do you want, the do second we want to half, talk about what happened in that half?
Oh, you're still a little sore about
that. I am very bitter about it. I don't want to. I'm assuming no one from Lethbridge listens to our podcast, so I'm going to speak about this openly, really.
Go ahead.
I do not want to deal with the Lethbridge Rams ever again. Respectfully, they can just not show up to Calgary. So basically, for any listeners who are unaware of this, there was not music in the second half, except for during the injuries, timeouts, and whenever the Cowboys scored. The reason for that was because apparently, for the first time ever that I have done any announcing at Hellard, Stampeder, or in Canfield, the coaches could not communicate to the referees. They could not communicate to the players to give them their plays. The players could not hear the plays in the huddle, and the players could also not hear the snap count. Now, I'm a professional, and I've been doing this for, 4 years now with the CBFA, not to mention, I don't know how many years, for high school football.
Yeah.
The second the center touches the ball, the music is off. Yes, there is the occasional play where I have a lapse in concentration and the music runs for a play. It happens, human error, whatever. No one has ever complained about the music to the extent that the Lethbridge Rams complained about the music.
Yeah.
Like, I get you might not do this in your league down in Lethbridge, but don't come to our house and tell us how to run our show.
Right.
Like, it builds so much more of an atmosphere.
It does. And I think the fans were into it, as they usually are. But yeah, that really, as you know, one who was on the sidelines to hear the complaint firsthand, my impression was that this was sour grapes. They were looking for excuses.
Well, it's
I think they knew they were in for a real tough game, and I don't think they're a team that's used to losing.
Well, they were, because they're 4-2 heading into the playoffs. I did look at their standings before. No, but not to the extent of like the Cowboys, who haven't lost in how many years now?
Almost 2 years. Yeah.
But it's the fact that they turned down our music. Sure. We accommodated that for them, and then they instantly come back and go, oh, we like just turn it off fully. It's like, okay. Yeah. But the irony behind it that I found really, really amusing was throughout the entire first half, both teams moved the ball extremely well.
Very, very well.
In that second half, when the music was off, the Rams hardly moved the ball. They had one drive in the fourth quarter where they moved the ball most of the way down the field, and then they turned it over.
Yeah. Yeah, they had their only score in the second half was early in the third quarter, and I think it was a long play or else a short field and a very
Yeah, it was a
short
73
drive.
yard rushing touchdown.
There you go. Yeah, it was a long play. So
wait, no, sorry, that was the second quarter. No, they had they didn't score in the second half.
They didn't score in the
second. No, because there's only 10 points in the second half. It was a knee safety conceded by the Rams and the Cowboys 21 yard passing touchdown with a 2-point convert.
Oh, was it 23-22 at halftime then?
Yes, 23-22 at half.
Okay, so Cowboys led 23-22 at half. Got the
knee safety in the third, and then in the fourth there was a passing touchdown. There was only two scores in the second half.
Yeah. Okay. I'll have to adjust the website write up. I misremembered, and I wrote that up the night of. So that's
tisk tisk.
Yeah, that's how it goes sometimes when you getting a little older. So yeah, the other thing that stood out for me in this game was seeing Massimo Piatelli in the backfield a la William Refrigerator Perry.
Yes. And he scored too.
He scored yeah,
a couple times.
He sure did. A couple of them, I think. Short yardage.
Well, short yardage being 5 and 8 yards.
Yeah, well, that's short yardage.
And yeah.
When they do a quarterback sneak that they could, you know, push the whole pile for 5-6 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and how many people are going to be tackling him too, right?
Well, that's just it. That's the thing I don't think we mentioned about provincials. There are a different set of rules that the kids play by outside of the CBFA. So, you know, during our season, the ball carrier's weight is limited to, I think it's 190 pounds. Used to be 185. So maybe it's still 185. I'm not sure. Anyways, the other one is we limit the number of players that can play two-way. And they don't provincially, which is why Xander Daniel was able to play both sides of the ball. And he played really well on both sides of the ball. I'm not sure he ever came off the field.
Speaking on that, I think that was part of what hurt the Lethbridge Rams.
They had a very short bench, for sure.
Like reading through the rosters, like, yes, they didn't come to Calgary with a lot of players. I'm not going to actually count the amount of players they have, even though I had the roster right in front of me. But it was, I'm not going to say that, but it's the amount of players that saw field time had to be around 15.
Yeah.
Not counting special teams. The amount of players I saw, like their quarterback was going both ways, the running back, half the receivers, if not most of the receivers, I'd imagine most of, if not all, their O and D line were going both ways.
And I think their top three players each had to sit out at least a play or more on multiple occasions from being injured. It looked like a lot of cramping. So
their quarterback didn't finish.
Yeah, not sure if they were, you know, just not hydrated enough, or if there was something in, you know, it's not that much of a difference in elevation from Lethbridge to Calgary, is it? Is enough to make that much of a difference? I don't know, but something definitely hampered Lethbridge's ability in the second half. They ran out of gas, and I think the depth of the bench on the Cowboys side played into their favor for sure. They were able to, you know, run their second. I mean, their even what is it? Their you mentioned his name earlier. He'd scored in the semifinal. The running back number 20, Cage Haycock. He's not one of their main weapons, but.
I mean, a couple of games that I've done for them, he was in the playoffs.
He's a solid player. He's definitely.
But he's definitely under.
He's behind
the radar compared to Danielle and Alaric.
Yeah, and that's exactly it, right? I mean,
but I mean, even then, like Keelan Reed as well. He had a couple of scores, and he had the one at least in the semifinal, and then he had at least one, and she only had one in the final as well.
Yeah, these are depth guys. That's all I was getting at. They're down on the depth chart, and they're still, you know, providing a lot of value for that club. And I think that was the main difference. If you limit the Cowboys bench, it might be a different game. But
how do you limit the Cowboys bench?
Well, you don't.
Like their bench is
just a mental exercise, right?
Yeah.
Final score in that one, in the final tier one final, 31-22. So the Lethbridge Rams held without a point in the second half after getting their way and having the music shut off. And so what happens when you turn off the music? The dance is over.
Instant karma.
Yeah. So there you have
it. Another one of those rules. Sorry, you were mentioning things that were slightly different rule-wise. Yeah. We did have a conversation with a Cowboys parent in the semifinal game. Another one of those rule changes. CBFA, we do 2 points for a kick, 1 point for a convert, because we like to encourage kicking.
That's right.
Because it's like, you look at the high school level, but you might have seen it a bit this year because you did a couple of games in the playoffs and stuff. But one thing that I've noticed over the last few years of doing high school football is there's so many teams that can't kick. Like they can't do a 1 point convert attempt, or if they can do a 1 point convert attempt, they don't ever try for a field goal.
Right.
I know my school was lucky enough that we had like a soccer kid come out for being a kicker. And we were able to hit some 40 yarders. So in provincials, what the difference is it's regular CFL and NFL rules where it's 2 points for running, you have 1 point
That's
for,
right.
I guess just say regular football Alberta rules.
Regular
and 1 point for a convert.
CFL clock too.
Yeah.
So the games did take a little bit longer than ours normally do. We keep ours trim 2 hours. These were probably a little over that, 2:15 or so. Of course, you add on the introductions and the pomp and the circumstance, 2.5 hours for a game.
That was a long, long game.
Yeah. The provincial games, I'm always glad that there's only the one at a time.
Yes.
It's a lot. And I mean, it's cool. It's great to soak in the atmosphere. Whether you're in the booth or down at field level, it's especially nice being at field level when you get the break in the weather like we did. So
yeah,
that was fantastic. I really enjoyed that part of that aspect of the season. I'm looking forward to seeing all of the actual faces of the kids, which we don't normally get to see during the season. So we'll get to see them all dressed up in their suits and everything, all the
at the banquet.
Stars who are invited to the banquet. So that'll be really cool. I'm looking forward to that, as I always do. The Italian club puts on a wonderful meal. And
most of whom are down in Vegas right now.
They're down in Vegas right now. They just left yesterday morning. Today was day two. They're getting ready.
A little bit of
getting ready
updates for the posted onto socials.
Yeah, so we'll be following as everyone else is out there, unless you're actually on the trip.
Apparently, the day two agenda. Social media. Day two agenda: Hoover Dam, a mine Hoover tour, Dam. Lunch, athlete taping, on-field practice, a dinner, a study hall, and curfew.
Nice. So,
assuming they might have a game tomorrow if they're doing a practice.
They could. I know they've got to study the American rule book.
Yeah.
Coach Peterson was saying, the toughest part is remembering about motion on offense. only one at a time and no movements towards the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Gonna burn the Canadian kids usually once or twice a game if they're not careful.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's gonna be one of the hardest things to adjust for the receivers, especially those who play slot back.
I still think it's easier for our kids to go down there than it would be for the American kids to come up here, mainly because they aren't exposed to two types of football from a young age like our kids are.
Yeah.
There's a lot of NFL fans on our teams, and of course they bleed the three down ball, but for four down football, it's not that much of a stretch for our kids.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because like how many of them are watching?
Oh yeah.
I hate to say it, but how many of them are watching the NFL over the CFL?
NFL team is, and they'll all have an answer.
Yeah. Ask them for the CFL team and they might just say Stamps because they live in Calgary.
Yeah.
Or the Riders because their parents might be from Saskatchewan.
Or yeah. Like I would have at that age I would have said BC because I would have just moved from BC.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So I personally prefer the CFL over the NFL, but I am well aware of the fact that I am very, very, very much the odd one out.
I just can't pick one over the other. I love all the brands of football that I've found, Australian rules included. I'm a fan of all of the different games that are out there.
You know, all the best to our selects team down there. Hopefully they can bring home at least a win, if not all three. Hopefully all three.
Right. Well, I think Dan was saying that so far in the 20 plus years they've been traveling with the selects team, so far none of the teams have come back winless.
Yeah, but you know what? We've talked about it now.
Now that we've talked about
so it's gonna freaking happen.
It's a curse, but you know.
I don't even think knocking on my wooden desk is gonna help that.
If I don't talk about it and get the curse out there, then it's only gonna haunt me.
Yeah,
share the wealth, right?
So if they do know for down there, then we severely apologize. But as of right now, it's not happened yet. We're hoping it continues to not happen.
That's right.
Because so it looks good on our program.
As of now, the games haven't been played, and I'm pretty sure nobody down there is going to be listening to us prior to the game anyway. So hopefully, you think they might be listening? If they are listening,
forget what I know, said. I know at least one person that will be, maybe two.
You know?
Yeah. I know Grant Stefanowski will definitely be listening. Dan Pedersen might also be listening.
I don't know. Dan hasn't listened to any episodes yet this year.
He's so been meaning Dan, to catch Dan up. Might not, but Grant Stefanowski 100% will be listening down there.
Well, there we go.
And give the boys also our is
best,
good...
Grant. Give them our best and best of luck to all of you. We know that you That's... guys are it's talented also, and smart, and you know what you're doing, which is why you're there and we're here.
It's also so a good. It's also a good teaser them. for our next podcast.
That's right.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Grant, we'll talk to Grant, and he'll let us know just how much of an effect we have across the border with this little podcast of ours.
Yeah, hopefully a lot. Yeah, all the best.
All the best. And yeah, keep
congrats. Congrats to the Eagles. Congrats to the Cowboys for their back to back.
Yeah. Coach Henderson and Coach Cooper and all of your staffs, amazing job this year. And hey, an amazing job to all of our coaches and all of our staff and all of our kids.
And all of our volunteers.
All of our volunteers. It was an awesome season, and we just can't do this without everything everyone did in support of minor football in Calgary. So thank you all, and we'll catch you in a couple of weeks after All-Star Banquet is complete. And until then, you know, be safe out there and stay warm.
Go football.
Go football.
The CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime Players of the Game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Check out their selection of new and used vehicles online at www.wolfcadillaccalgary.com or in person at 1720 Barlow Trail Southwest. And game day wouldn't be the same if not for Superfan Snacks. They're located near the plaza area of Schold Ice Park. Superfan Snacks proudly supports minor football at every level. Find them on Facebook. Thank you for listening.